That sparkly James Harvest and the beautiful Mockingbird. Now, formed in 1966, the band Barclay James Harvest created classic albums like Once Again featuring Mockingbird, Barclay James Harvest and Other Short Stories, and many others. Founder member of the band John Lees is about to embark on a tour with his lineup of John Lees Barclay James Harvest and has just released a new album by the band, North. And on the line now, it's John Lees. Good afternoon, John. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Now, you're on tour shortly. Would you like to tell me a little bit about the forthcoming tour? I guess you'll be playing some material from the new album.
Yeah, we certainly will be doing, yeah. I think we're playing in Islington in your area and Cambridge Coin Exchange.
That's right, yeah.
21st of November, yeah. And we'll be featuring stuff from the new album, North, but of course also featuring some of the major classics from the back catalogue.
Oh, I'm sure. And have you been rehearsing hard for that?
No. we've been locked in quite a bit of promotion, really, in and around Europe. And I've just been on as soon as we finished the album, I went on a massive road trip with my son to New Zealand and Australia. So.
Oh, lovely.
Just got back from that.
Lovely. Okay, now I hear the latest version of the band, you have a bit of fun with them on stage. Does that make it easier for you?
It's an iteration of the band's been around for about 15 years.
Yeah.
I think they're now, you know, they're all partners in the venture now. We have a ball. We have a lot of fun. And we enjoy the music more than anything.
Yeah.
I enjoy creating music. It's very much a collaboration now, as in the early days of Barclay James Harvest.
Sure.
You know, all these songs, with a little bit of tuition from me, have been musically, lyrically, and spiritually produced by the four members of the band, which is great.
Sure. Now, alongside yourself, we've got Craig Fletcher on vocals and bass guitar, Jez Smith, keyboards, vocals and acoustic guitar, and on drums, Kevin Whitehead. Can you tell us a bit about the other members of the lineup?
Yeah, we're all, apart from Kevin, we're all semi professional.
Really?
Well, by virtue of the fact that I'm retired, I'm an oldish pensioner, would you believe?
Oh, right.
That's my retirement.
Well, I'm not far behind you, John.
Craig's a builder.
Right.
Jez is a bank manager. And Kev's a full-on professional drummer.
Amazing. Well, I've got to say, I'm absolutely loving the new album. But going back, the original lineup of Barclay James Harvest split up in 1998 due to musical differences. Is that something that you now regret, or was it something that really had to happen?
It was something that had to happen, actually. I was talking to somebody about it today. We decided to take a rest.
Yeah.
And give people opportunity to do something else in their own right, and the initial agreement was that there would be Barclay James Harvest through the eyes of John Lees, Barclay James Harvest through the eyes of Les Olroyd, and Barclay James Harvest through the eyes of Mel Pritchard, had Mel wanted to do anything.
Yeah.
So that was the kind of agreement that we parted company on, fully meaning to, after a year, to reconvene and see how everybody felt.
Okay.
But there was kind of a bit of acrimony in there and a bit of cheating. So it became a full-on split.
Right, okay.
And, I think it wasn't helpful, really, that people thought then it was that Barclay James Harvest was something that I had left, and that there was a lot of confusion around. You know, that's why it is so blatantly John Lees Barclay James Harvest, so that people know if they buy, you know, a ticket to see John Lees Barclay James Harvest, they will see John Lees playing his version of the songs from Barclay James Harvest.
Yeah, okay. Well, in 1998, you managed to recruit one of the original band members, and of course that was Wooly Wustenholme, of course. And he was up with you up until his very tragic death in 2010. How did that affect you and the other band members?
It was absolutely out of the blue. Tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that Wooly. I mean, I'd not lost contact with Wooly the whole time, and we met at a school reunion just before in '98, and decided that whatever happened, we were going to do something together again anyway.
Yeah.
After Nexus in '99, I really I'd just been doing it so long, I didn't want to do another album. We were contracted to do one, but we didn't. I sent the money back, we didn't do it.
Right.
We just decided that we would play the live work, and any new things, we'd just play them live. And we did that right up until we were due to do this, you know, to do Metropolis and a few other things in German tour, all put forward by Woolley. And one of the things he wanted to do, in you know, after all that time, was to re-record something. So I'd sort of tentatively agreed to that when the tragedy happened.
Yeah.
It kind of left us all... I was really angry starters, and then we decided, what do we do? We've got these commitments that we've got to fulfil anyway. Nobody even mentioned getting anybody else in. We decided that we've got to cope with the loss within our own musical talents, which we managed to do. And having then taken on the commitment, we decided, what do we do? Do we stop as soon as we've done all these things? Do we carry on? And if we carry on, how?
Yeah.
And it was decided, yes, we should carry on. If we carry on, we need something new.
Right.
And that's when we started to look at taking the ideas that we'd had in the past and putting them together.
And keep going, yeah, yeah. Well, now, over the years, you've sold a lot of albums here in the UK, but I think it's true to say that you had even bigger success in continental Europe. Is that right? And why do you think that was?
I think right place, right time. We left, we consciously went to Europe because we couldn't keep our heads above water in England. We were doing large tours, but they weren't the stadium gigs then that there are now.
Right.
And we just weren't making any money at all to keep the whole venture going. So we consciously went to Europe, and it just seemed to happen for us. It just seemed to take off, especially in Germany for
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And then punk came, didn't it? And we were in Europe when punk happened. It didn't happen the same in Europe. And we just really... You know, we sold. I mean, one of the albums gone to us sold over 1 million copies.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the albums did. You know.
Well, I mean, talking of Germany, August 30th, 1980. I'm sure that's a date you remember.
Yeah, we played 180,000 people.
Yeah, well, I've heard varying estimates. Some saying as many as 250,000 people.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no general sort of feeling was between 180 and 200,000.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we'd done that because. We were the first band to sell 1 million tickets to
wow.
live concerts
wow.
in any one country, and that was in Germany. We sold 1 million tickets.
Right.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
I wish I got the money to show for it.
I mean, what was that experience like? What do you remember of it?
The Berlin concert was terrifying.
Yeah.
I've just no idea of the scale of it when you get into a situation like that. It's quite... apolitical. It was on the steps of the Reichstag, which is now the German Parliament building. It's like our Houses of Parliament, so you can imagine doing a gig on the steps of the Houses of Parliament,
yeah.
I don't think. And it was in kind of a horseshoe where the Berlin Wall is. So it was obviously, the idea was that people in East Berlin would be able to, if they were near the wall, would be able to hear this concert. There's no way they wouldn't.
Right.
And so it was quite... It was quite daunting
yeah,
to have
I'm sure.
the Reichstag as your dressing room,
I'm
which
sure.
it was.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Now, look, as a bit of a Beatle nut, I've got to ask you this. On the original recording of Galadriel, you played the Gibson Epiphone Casino that John Lennon had played during the Beatles' last ever live performance. How did that come about?
Well, it was before he used it for the performance.
Oh, sorry, was it? I beg your pardon, right?
It was before he used it for the... Well, all the gear was... When we very first started... we had a deal with EMI, which involved recording at Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And we were unknown at the time.
Yeah.
So we used to have to take what they call downtime.
Right, yeah.
So if the Beatles finished recording, say, at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, we were all waiting outside. We went in, and then we had the time, you know, overnight, if you like, to record.
Yeah.
And the engineer and the producer... The actual producer was a guy called Norman Smith, who was also involved in engineering
yeah.
The Beatles. And so he had access to the equipment, and we needed a guitar for Galadriel, one that sounded sort of, could be played like a semi-acoustic. And he just got that guitar
right.
out of the store at Abbey Road, and I played it, John Lennon's guitar.
Amazing. You even wrote a song about it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Now, you first formed the band back in 1966. What is it that keeps you playing after all these years? And not only playing, composing and, you know...
Good question.
..the whole thing.
I've always, from starting to compose music, it's always been an expression of me, of where I'm at in time, social comment.
Yeah.
You know, psychologically, how I feel, and all the things that are happening to me at any given age in my life.
Yeah.
I've kind of portrayed in songs and in lyrics. I suppose like an artist would paint pictures, really.
Yeah.
I've never thought of them in a commercial way, but it's kept me employed all of my adult life.
Fantastic.
And
yeah.
It's got to stage now. What else would I do, really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what you've done is you've produced a new album, haven't you? And that was released a couple of days ago. And I've been listening to it. I've got a couple of favourite tracks I absolutely love. But have the new guys contributed to the writing on the album? Or is it all you?
It's everybody.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I was saying about this. The beauty of this is that, fortunately for me, after Nexus in 99, I made everybody a partner within John Lee's Barclay James Harvest.
Right.
So when it came to doing this, I didn't want me writing songs and then playing on songs again. That's why I kind of stopped after Nexus, because that would have been the eventuality of me and Woolley writing songs, somebody else playing on them.
Yeah.
From the very start of doing this album, I said, you know, this isn't about me writing songs, this is about John Lee's Barclay James Harvest as an entity producing music with all of us involved.
Right.
So I can honestly say it's a collaboration of all four people.
Wonderful.
Musically, lyrically, spiritually, everything.
Wonderful. Well, I've only had the album for a short time, but I've already got a couple of favourite tracks. My favourite tracks would be Unreservedly Yours and Ancient Waves. How about you? What's the track you're most proud of on the new album?
I like them all.
Yeah.
I've never singled anything else on this album. It's one of the only albums I've recorded that I've been listening to since the moment it was finished. I put it on and the first track, If You Were Here Now, and I let it run straight to the end.
Right.
I'm really... it's a massive success for me, this.
Yeah.
For me personally. Because I know what it's taken in tuition and in just sheer determination, working in the evenings and at weekends,
yeah,
to produce this with these three guys. They've really stepped up to the mark. They've never... They've discovered the creative soul, if you like,
right,
with me. And so... Everyone's a favourite. Everyone.
Right. Well, what I'm trying to do is to get you to choose the track that I'm going to play out with. So,
well, if I was choosing a track to play, it's really longer. It's North.
North. Okay.
It epitomises everything about the album, you know.
No, that's right. And that's your roots, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mean, that's where that song comes from, I'm guessing, yeah. Okay, so the tour starts in Bath on the 7th of November. Are you looking forward to getting back on the road?
Yeah, it's something we've constantly done over the last sort of 15 years. We've always done loads of live work in, you know,
yeah,
whether it be festivals or short stints of gigs in England.
Yeah.
So it's always, that's a fun part of it, yeah. We have a great camaraderie, because we meet up like a club every week, you know.
Yeah.
Two, maybe three times a week just to play the music anyway.
Yeah.
I've
watched your four-part interview on YouTube with where you're interviewing the members of the band, and you can just see it clearly there how well you all get on together. Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, now you'll be coming to this part of the country on the 8th of November at London's Islington Assembly, and again on the 21st of November in Cambridge, yeah, at the Junction. Tickets available online. Where's the best place to look, John, to find out about the tour and the new album?
It's... BarclayJamesHarvest.com.
Right. That's easy. Great. Well, now, look, we played Mockingbird earlier, and one of my colleagues here on Phoenix FM, Scott Ross, he loves that track so much that he particularly asked me to thank you for bringing it into his life. So how about that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, John, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us today on Phoenix. I'd like to wish you good luck with the tour and the great new album that I genuinely absolutely love. It's been lovely to speak to you today. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks very much.
All right. This is John Lees, Barclay James Harvest and North.